asked, or I think Justin mentioned it for me last week, but today we're going to be having a special offering, a sacrifice offering, if you will, for CPRS. They're trying to raise some monies to be able to do some work there on the building, and they have a matching fund program set up. So today, if you would, as the plate is passed, if you'd like to donate to that, if it's a check, be sure you put in the memo for CPRS or specifically on your envelope, say that you want to donate this amount for CPRS. The cash will not that's collected will not go to that, only if you have a check or an envelope. So just to call that to your attention. There are some new calendars, or schedules, rather, that have been printed that are out in the foyer for July and August. And I did have to make a change in July. The evening of the 14th, we will have a business meeting. I failed to get a business meeting scheduled, and that's for our election of officers, so it's kind of an important meeting. So you'll see that on the schedule, but make a note of that. The evening of July the 14th will be that business meeting. We mentioned Wednesday evening. We got word that Brother Paul Shaw passed away, and I wanted to share that with everyone. If you didn't hear that announcement, the funeral service will be here at the church on July the 6th. So that's the last day of our reunion, but it'll be later in that afternoon, and I'm trying to find out exactly what time that'll be. I believe it's going to be 4 o'clock that afternoon, but I need to confirm that yet. So Paul Shaw's service on July the 6th at 4 o'clock. And then also, we are having our reunion starting next Saturday, which is coming up. It's part of the reason that Justin is preaching today as our reunion director. It would be good to hear from him and have him share some of his thoughts about reunion. So we will not have services here at the church next Sunday. We'd invite you all to come out to the reunion grounds, where we will be having services. That's next Sunday. And the same thing with Wednesday evening. There will not be a prayer service here. It'll be out at the reunion grounds at Odessa Hills. If you don't know where that's at, or if you need a ride, let us know, and we can make sure that that we accommodate you. So those are all the announcements that I have for this morning. We'll continue now with our ministry.
Thank you.
I'm kind of fond of that young couple right there. I thank them for their ministry of music. I had the benefit of being able to listen to all the practices that culminated in that, and so I appreciate that very much. Our call to worship this morning comes from section 98 of the Doctrine and Covenants, beginning at verse 7d. And the Lord of the vineyard said unto one of his servants, Go and gather together the residue of my servants, and take all the strength of mine house, which are my warriors, my young men, and they that are of middle age also, among all my servants, whom are of the strength of my house, save those only whom I have appointed to tarry. And go ye straightway unto the land of my vineyard, and redeem my vineyard, for it is mine. I have bought it with money. Therefore get ye straightway unto my land, break down the walls of mine enemies, throw down their tower, and scatter their watchmen. And inasmuch as they gather together against you, avenge me of mine enemies, and by I may come with the residue of mine house and possess the land. And I, like you, look forward to that day when the Lord comes in power with his armies to reclaim the land that is rightfully his. And I look forward to that kingdom that will come. I thank you, brothers and sisters, for being here today. I know the weather has not been particularly pleasant, but being here in his house is. I can't think of a better place to be on a Sabbath day. Shall we join together in our opening hymn, number 112, and make our preparations to draw nearer, my God, to thee?
We're so grateful that we can come here today to worship Thee. And we pray that You'll bless our hearts, that it might be in tune with You, that each and every heart might be touched today, and that those desires for building the kingdom and being a part of it might dwell within our hearts, and that we might desire to serve You. We pray that You'll bless Justin as he imparts those words that are upon his heart. And we pray that we might hear his words, and that we might desire to use them and to be touched by them. And Father, we pray that You'll bless our reunion coming up next week, that we might go to those grounds expecting to meet You there. And we pray that You would be there to meet us, and that we might be of one heart and one mind, and that we might overcome those things that would prevent us from going and from holding us back, and that truly we might be Your people, and that we might rejoice in You. We pray that You'll bless this hour, and pray that You'll be with us, each and every one. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Abby and Noah, way to give of your talents and your time. We all really appreciate that, inviting that spirit to the Lord. What was pressed upon my heart as soon as I found out I was doing the offertory was because I said so. And as a parent, every one of our kids have come up to us 500,000 times, if not 1,000,000 times, and said, why? Why mom? Why dad? And we usually respond by, because I said so. I feel that term of endearment is for protection, and because we do know better for our children than they do, and I think that comes from our Heavenly Father. It's all three of these books, this gospel that Jesus gave us, is because He said so. And if we would just stop and listen to that small voice, because He said so, it will protect us and guide us and lead us. And from Acts 20:35, I have shown you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, how He has said, it is blessed to give than receive. Would you please pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you and this great house of yours to ask a special blessing over these monies, over the time and the talents that you are so precious to give us. Lord, we know we can't pay you back, but help us be that beacon of light of yours, that we could pay it forward. And Lord, we ask the blessing over the monies, over the CPRS school as well. For everything is yours, and we love you and we praise you, and we're so happy that we are yours. Let your will be done in all things. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
if you have your scriptures, excuse me, you can turn with me to section 41 of the Doctrine and Covenants, starting with verse 1. Hearken and hear, O ye my people, saith the Lord and your God, ye whom I delight to bless with the greater blessings, ye that hear me, and ye that hear me not will I curse, that have professed my name with the heaviest of all cursings. Hearken, O ye elders of my church, whom I have called. Behold, I give unto you a commandment, that ye shall assemble yourselves together to agree upon my word, and by the prayer of your faith ye shall receive my law, that ye may know how to govern my church and have all things right before me. And I will be your ruler when I come, and behold, I come quickly, and ye shall see that my law is kept. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his record.
At my side, for
Thank you, Shelby, Rachel, Abby, and Noah. Always enjoy listening to you two sing, and it's a joy to be bringing ministry with you today. And I want to start out with a story of victory, a testimony. Although it may seem like a very small testimony, I'm sure it's huge in the lives of those who are directly affected by it. And this occurred last Sunday as Tiffany and I were almost home and we were getting ready to turn onto our street. And there was this yellow lab wandering the streets and panting pretty good. Last Sunday was pretty warm. And we noticed she came out into the road and didn't see us right away. And I wasn't going fast, so it was no problem to stop. She wasn't in any danger of being hit. And so we saw her run into the yard and just sniffing around. She looked like she was a well-kept dog. And so Tiff and I decided that we needed to stop and check the tag, see if we could find the owner information. And as Kelly shared her testimony this morning about Hercules and the baby, for those of you who weren't here, Kelly, when she was younger, had a male cat, and she wanted a kitten really bad. And prayed, and her mom said, "Honey, that's a male cat. It won't ever happen." And lo and behold, one morning she went out after her prayers and after praying for some time, and there was a little black baby kitten with Hercules. And so the Lord is so mindful of each one of us, no matter how big our issues may be or how big they may seem when we're younger. And so the story continues with Tetra is her name. Couldn't really make out the tag, so we decided to take her home, excuse me, and put her in the garage, tried to give her some water. She didn't seem interested in water. And Tiffany began using social media to reach out to say, "Hey, we found a dog, and this is her name. Can't make out the tags." Tried calling the vet. Of course, the vet was closed. And so we prayed about it, and at one point after we got done eating, Tiffany said, "Well, maybe we need to take her out to go to the bathroom." And so I put the leash on her, opened up the garage door, and she took off and, you know, led me out of the garage, and she was sniffing around, and all of a sudden her ears perked up. And I thought I heard some faint yelling, and about that time, there was a vehicle coming down from a side street, and they were calling her name. And so I'm waving them down, telling them, "Hey, over here, over here." So there was two young girls in that vehicle with their mom, and they were so thankful. "Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you." Just so relieved. And the mom had said that they had taken the dad out for Father's Day. And when they had returned, nobody knew where the dog was. And these girls were in tears. They were crying, and they were just beside themselves. And this woman, all the social media that Tiffany was reaching out on, she didn't know about it. She wasn't checking it. So that was out of the question. That was not going to be an option. But you see, the Lord is perfect in His timing. And the time that Tiffany suggested that I take Tetra out is the time that needed to happen, because that's when the owners showed up. And so we see that the Lord is so mindful. And those little girls, you know, they were having a fun time with their dad, and then all of a sudden tragedy struck in their hearts and they were without this dog that they loved. And Tetra, she was a good dog, missing one eye. That's why she didn't see us when she was crossing the road. So anyway, these stories of victory, these testimonies, they strengthen us. And it doesn't matter how small or how big, they touch each one of our lives. And so for, I want to share with you, first of all, I'm going to come right out and invite every one of you to reunion. And I know that not everyone's going to be able to make it, but I want you to know that the invitation is open. If you can't stay, you can commute. If you need a ride, Joe's offered to put chairs in the back of his truck. But we want you to come to reunion. And the reason is that reunion, I don't know if many of you know the history of when reunion began. And this is found in Church History, Volume 4, page 420. And basically a rundown. Preamble and resolution were presented by Charles Derry and John Hawley, providing for the holding of reunions. It was discussed at length and finally referred to a committee consisting of W.W. Blair, Charles Derry, and John Hawley. And they basically said, we need the stake presidents, we need the district authorities to arrange reunions as much as possible to come together where it may be by them deemed best, when and where. And so it was adopted. And then so in later on that year, that was a conference in April. And in September, the first reunion was held in Leland's Grove, Shelby County, Iowa. And it says that the saints assembled in this reunion meeting, having realized spiritual blessings and favor from God, and have enjoyed the communion and fellowship of each other since we assembled together, and believe that as we do, that great good will accrue to the church, generally as well as us individually, in the continuation of these meetings. Therefore, be it resolved that we are in favor of holding a reunion meeting annually, and that a committee of three be appointed and empowered to obtain control of the grounds where said meeting shall be held. And they talked about, and they go on and talk about how the weather was inclement, how they showed up. I'd like to point out in 1886, there was 42 baptisms at reunion. And what's more mind-boggling, is that it said that there was 5,000 to 6,000 people at the last meeting on Sunday at that reunion. They talked about over 150 tents and how there was many teams of horses. And we've heard the stories of how they would bring their provisions. They would bring their livestock sometimes to the reunion. And I have a personal testimony of reunion because that's where I felt like the Lord was really starting to reach out and touch me as a youth. My grandparents, Ken and Barb Newcomb, made it a point to take me to reunion. And my mom willingly, she wanted me to go, and so I would go. And reunion for me was probably one of the most influential times of my life, and that brought me back to or brought me into the fellowship that I needed with the saints. And it wasn't the preaching, and I've shared this in my testimony before, that it wasn't the preaching necessarily, although I was present at the meetings. And I'm sure that they did have some effect on me, but it was the fellowship, and especially of those my own age. When I looked around and saw those of my own age engaged in this work and having that fellowship and just that fellowship with them. And so reunions hold a personal, very personal meaning to me. And I want to ask you, do you all have an experience like that at reunion? How do you think about reunion? What do you think of it? And we see that, we see that from church history it was very important, and the Lord saw fit and these men saw fit that we meet together, and that was so important. And the thing about reunion is that you not only worship together, like we're used to coming here and worshiping Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings, Sunday evenings, and we get all dressed up and we come and we're putting on our best. But there's something about reunion. There's something about rolling up your sleeves, washing dishes together, sweeping together, or just fellowshipping in the warmth of the day or in the coolness of the air conditioning at the dining hall. Or I remember the lodge was a pretty big meeting place back at Lake Mauer. But there's something about it. You see, we can come together and worship. We already do that. But Zion is going to be a place of work. And we must learn how to come together to work together. And reunion is a glimpse of that. Reunion is an opportunity for us to come together, to work together, to learn how to get along, because you learn a lot about somebody when you work with them. You know, you can worship with somebody, but when you start building fence with them or pouring concrete, you start to learn a lot about them. And it's not that we're difficult to get along with, but we put on our best when we come to church, don't we? We put on our best behavior. We try to put on a happy face even though the world's pulling and tugging at us, and we're given everything we have, and we just don't feel like we've got any more to give. We still have to try and present ourselves. And, you know, that's good, but in a way it's not. How many times has somebody walked up to you and said, "How are you doing today?" "Oh, I'm fine." And you're really not. Now, there's wisdom in your response. But how are we really going to get to know each other? How are we really going to learn how to pray for one another? Brother Steve Smith is going to be speaking at our reunion. He's from the South Chrysler branch. And I texted him last night to check and make sure that he was still aware of his responsibility. And I asked him, I said, "Are you still good with July the 2nd? And he says, "I'm not good with it, but I'm still planning on it." And I'm thinking, okay, was he joking? Because I just got a text before that from Greg Lyon saying he would be there at 8 o'clock in the evening, which is an hour after his appointment, an hour after he's supposed to preach. I knew he was joking. But I texted back Steve and I said, "Is everything okay? Is there a conflict in your schedule?" And he texted me back. And as you know, South Chrysler had just had their reunion. And he said that they had been away at reunion and one of their water pipes had burst while they were away. And so they had a major flood in their house. And so, you see, these trials, they will come upon us, these difficult times. And the reason I share that with you is I want to ask you to pray for him and his family. And although in some of our lives it may seem like a simple thing, it may not seem disastrous, but for him, it's affecting him. And we need to help each other. We need to pray for each other. We need to let each other in. We need to be willing to let other people into our lives, and we need to be willing to engage and get involved in other people's lives. We're supposed to be a family. We're supposed to care for one another. We bear one another's burdens. When some of us mourn, we all mourn. When we find joy, when we have joy in the birth of a child or the blessings of children or the baptisms, we all rejoice together. That's what this is about. So I want to encourage each one of you to come to reunion. If you don't think you can make it, try to find a way. Pray and ask the Lord, "Lord, how can I make it?" And I understand that there's some who are unable to make it. But I would encourage you, that those who can't make it, to make it a matter of prayer and to support those who will be there. And I believe and I feel deeply that the Lord will bless you with that same spirit and the blessings that the people at the grounds will receive. It's not that we're more special than the people who don't go. Please don't misunderstand me. But what I'm saying is the Lord will bless you and uplift you the same. And for some, you're unable to go. And that's fine. We all have responsibilities. And some of us aren't fortunate enough to be able to make that trip. But I would ask each one of you to hold up the men and all of the people who are serving, the men and the women. There's a lot of work that goes into it, a lot of work. And so we have high expectations for that. And so the theme for reunion is a hymn of admonition. And as we know, Joseph Fluff sang this. And this hymn is so full, chocked full. We're going to have an entire series on it, obviously, at reunion. But it's so full that there's no way one person can cover it in 20 minutes. But I'm going to go through and I want to share a few scriptures with you for your listening. And so if you would, turn over to section 43 of the Doctrine and Covenants. And the first theme for Sunday at 11 o'clock, Brother Tony Brown will be bringing our message. And for that theme is, O my people, saith the Spirit. This is hymn 297 in your hymnal. It happens to be the closing hymn, which we're going to sing. O my people, saith the Spirit, hear the word of God today. Be not slothful, but obedient. 'Tis the world's momentous day. And when I read that verse in preparing for this sermon, the world's momentous day stood out to me. And I thought about all the hopes and the promises and the expectations that we have for the Lord's coming and returning glory. And these scriptures are in no way all-encompassing. Every scripture ties in with this hymn. And that's a wonderful thing about the Word of God. You could find so many scriptures. Verse 7 in section 43. Behold, verily I say unto you that these are the words of the Lord your God. Wherefore, labor ye in my vineyard for the last time. For the last time, call upon the inhabitants of the earth. For in my own due time will I come upon the earth in judgment. And my people shall be redeemed and shall reign with me on earth. For the great millennial which I have spoken by the mouth of my servants shall come. For Satan shall be bound, and when he is loosed again, he shall only reign for a little season, and then cometh the end of the world. And he that liveth in righteousness shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and the earth shall pass away so as by fire, and the wicked shall go away into unquenchable fire, and their end no man knoweth on earth, nor ever shall know, until they come before me in judgment. This scripture is just a small snapshot. The great millennial that he has spoken of, brothers and sisters, we know about this. We know about his coming in great glory. We know that he will come and set his church in order beforehand, and that Zion will be on this earth for 1,000 years. All of creation, when you talk about the world, if you look it up in the dictionary, it means the earth and all of its creation, creatures, and everything that's encompassed in it. That's the grass, the rocks, the trees, everything. Everything in the universe is looking forward to this time and this point in time, the climax of humanity here upon this earth, when God will do his strange work, when he will do that. And so the whole world, all of nature around us, everything, the hosts of heaven, all of his creation is looking forward to this time. And here we are. Here you are, called in these last days. You are his weapons. And in concerning our whereabouts, Joseph Fluff received a revelation. And then the Lord calls us his weapons. Where are my weapons? He talks about how you're called in these last days. Each one of you, all of his people, are called to do a work. And so here you are. Here we are. And all of creation is there with us. All of the universe is standing beside us and alongside of us. And the hosts of heaven, what do we have to fear? If we could see the vast army of all the seraphim and the hosts behind us, cheering for us, beckoning us on. It doesn't feel like that sometimes, does it? The darkness crowds around. The darkness crowds around. But we have the promise in these scriptures. If we remain steadfast in these scriptures and we focus on Jesus Christ and try not to get lost in the darkness and despair, don't let the world pull us down. Okay. Unto honor I have called you. Honor great as angels know. Heed ye then a father's counsel, and by deeds your purpose show. as I read this, unto honor I have called you. To me, that sounds like he's offering you something. He's offering you something great. Now, there are stipulations. You have to heed his counsel. You have to buy your works. You have to show that you love him. If you turn to Deuteronomy 26. Verse 15. Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven, and bless thy people Israel, and the land which thou hast given us, as thou swearest unto our fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey. Don't we live in that land? Don't we have a land flowing with milk and honey today? This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God, and to walk in his ways, and keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments, and to hearken unto his voice. And the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments, and to make thee high above all nations which he hath made in praise and in name and in honor, that thou mayest be a holy people unto the Lord thy God as he hath spoken. You see, the Lord wants to give you honor. He wants you to be honored among the nations. He wants you to be a mighty people. And he has given us that promise, and he has given us the tools to become that people. Time is ripe. My work must hasten. Whoso will may abide the hour. Naught can harm whom God protecteth. Elements confess his power. The one example that came to my mind was when he was in the boat with the disciples. And they marveled because all of a sudden this man spoke. The sea calmed, the waves calmed, and the wind calmed. And they marveled. But then I got to thinking, what better place to look at how elements confess his power than to go back to the beginning, to when he created them? And you can look back through the book of Genesis and you can read, let there be light, let there be firmament, let there be dry ground, let there be plants and trees. Let them bring forth after their own kind. You see, God created all the elements. He created it out of nothing. And so, of course, they're going to confess his power. And remember how I told you the universe, Arthur Oakman said in one of his sermons, he said the universe is united against all unrighteousness. And that should bring us great courage, because when you're standing for what's right and when it seems like the whole world is against you, look around at nature and realize that nature is on your side. The earth is on your side. The wind, and sometimes it doesn't always seem that way. We had a great tragedy here at the church when the church was being built. A mighty wind came through and took down the rafters. And there was a loss of life because of that. But all the elements will confess his power. And in the end, all mankind will too. Up ye then to the high places I have bid you occupy. Peril waits upon the heedless, grace upon the souls who try. Turning over in Deuteronomy to 32. And this is Moses' song that he sang. And then after that, he went up into the mountain and saw the promised land, and the Lord told him, you won't enter into the promised land, but you can go up and see it. This is part of his song, and he's talking about Jacob. Verse 9, For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them and beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields, and he made him to suck honey out of the rocks and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine and milk of sheep, with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat, and thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. We are seeing here a man that partook of the spoils. And we live in a land where there is plenty. And he says, if you move up to the high places, occupy those high places. How do we occupy those high places? Now, the high places, we could take that in different terminology. Now, if you look through do a scripture search, you will see that high places often refer to the places of pagan worship, where they would go to worship Balaam and Baal and those false gods. You could also take this to mean that he's talking about the mountain of the Lord. But the promise to us saints is we can be in the high places. We can feed on the fat of the land if we keep his commandments. He wants us to give us all that. And it's not just temporal. It's spiritual. Spiritual fatness. Spiritual fulfillment. Because when you have that, you're fulfilled totally. And one thing I want to keep in mind is that this song is to his church. It's not, I have a tendency to, when I sing the hymn or when I read through it, I'm thinking I, me. That's what he's talking about is me. But this is as a church. This song is to the church. So each one of us needs to be actively engaged. And we do this together. Because alone is very difficult. I'm not going to say it's impossible because with the Lord, nothing is impossible. But we do this together. And how do we come together? We come together in fellowship, not just for worship services, not just for a baby shower or a funeral. We come together and live lives together. We live our life together for a week at a time or for a weekend at a time if we have a retreat. Okay. Love ye me and love all people. Love as I have loved you. This your calling, this my purpose. Thus be my disciples true. If you turn to Romans chapter 12. Verses 9 through 18. Let love be without dissimulation. That dissimulation is deceit, falsehood, lying. Basically, don't love because it gains you something. Okay? Don't do it with an ulterior motive. Do it because God loved you. You know, God sought you out from the world, didn't he? He called you out of the world. And what responsibility do we have but to seek out other people, to share with other people when the opportunity arises, to share with them? Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. We know that. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of men. So we're to love, and that's difficult to do. And loving people sometimes, well, loving means sacrifice. Because the only way love has a way to show itself is through sacrifice. That's also from Arthur Oakman. Whether or not he coined that, I don't know, but I don't want to take credit for that. The chief means of showing itself, love has of showing itself is through sacrifice. That's the only way. And when you think about it, isn't that true? That's the only way you can show love, is by sacrifice. And so we have a tall order, brothers and sisters, to love one another and to love those who are out in the world, loving those who are difficult to love. Then in this exalted station, your companion I will be. Every promise of my scriptures will be verified in thee. In the Book of Mormon, if you turn to Jacob chapter 3, verse 7, Joe took my scripture this morning. But that's okay, right? That's how God works. Chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. Oh, I'm sorry. 7 and 8. Wherefore we search the prophets, and we have many revelations, the spirit of prophecy, and having all these witnesses, we obtain a hope, and our faith becomes unshaken, insomuch that we truly can command in the name of Jesus, and the very trees obey us, or the mountains, or the waves of the sea. Nevertheless, the Lord God showeth us our weakness, that we may know that it is by His grace and His great condescension unto the children of men that we have power to do these things. These are just a few of His promises He has for us. The most important promise that we have is salvation, eternal life. But we see here that these men, these people had the ability to calm the waves of the sea, to move mountains, to raise the dead. To me, that's having promises verified. And for the world, having it verified is a demonstration that it's true and accurate. Brothers and sisters, we're seeing prophecy fulfilled now. And the world is going to come to a point where they will no longer and can no longer deny that this is God's footstool and that He is in charge and that this is His work and that it is happening. Right now, scientists can explain things away with global warming and all the climate shift, climate control, all that. You can explain away about anything right now with a psychologist or a scientist. But the day is coming, brothers and sisters, when even they will bow down and confess, and every tongue will confess. Get ye up then to your mountain, Zion of this closing day, for the glory of my coming waits to break upon your way. This is getting exciting. He is waiting. His glory is coming. And it's hard for me to imagine what that's going to be like. And so difficult that I find myself getting caught up in the world and drawn away. And this is now the time that more than ever we have to be careful. We have to keep our attention and our focus and our eyes upon Jesus. We have to hold fast to that rod of iron. We cannot let go. We need to trust in Him. We need to keep our eyes upon Him, because the days are going to come when it's going to be dark. It's going to be so dark, and we may not see any light around us, but in our hearts, deep in our hearts, we will know that Jesus is still with us, that the Lord is still with us, and that He will not forsake us. And we were told in Genesis, his people he will preserve. And you are his people. And that is a promise. As long as we do what he says. As long as we're keeping his commandments. As long as we're exercising repentance continually in our lives. Back to Deuteronomy. Fingers are getting a workout today. Deuteronomy 7. Oh, I'm sorry. Deuteronomy 4. And verses 9 through 15. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thine heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, and he commanded you to perform even 10 commandments. And he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go over to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no man, no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. No similitude of a man. In other words, man did not teach them, it was God. It was God Almighty speaking through that fire. And if you turn to Isaiah 52, we're going to tie this one together. Isaiah 52, 6 through 10. Therefore my people shall know my name, yea, in that day they shall speak. They shall know that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. And then shall ye say, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings unto them, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings unto them of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. With the voice together they shall sing, and they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. The mountain of the Lord is Zion. And isn't it so interesting that Moses went to the mountain and the people of Israel stood below the mountain and they heard the voice of God. And now the mountain of Zion will raise up and we will go to Zion to learn of her ways. And other people will come, those who won't take up weapons. And they'll say, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and of Zion and learn of her ways. Get ye up then to your mountain, Zion of this closing day. Forth from thence your testimony shall to trembling nations go, and the world confess that with you God has residence below. I kind of got ahead of myself there and I shared the wrong scripture. That belongs to Isaiah 52:6-10. The other scripture I was supposed to share with you was out of 2 Nephi, and that's Isaiah 2, and that ties in how the mountain of Zion, let us go up to our ways to learn of Zion. So I apologize for that. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you to come to reunion and to expect something great. Not because we're wanting to challenge the Lord, but you know, the Lord wants us to try him, doesn't he? He wants us to try him. He wants us to come before him. Now, we have to do our part. We must keep his commandments. We need to seek him out. We need to be continually in an attitude of repentance. But he wants us to try him. He wants to prove himself to us that he is our God. And he will answer our prayers. And it's not going to be an easy task. And I want to encourage you, because I know that there's so much going on in life. There are things going on in our lives right now that are very difficult to deal with. And we see the world around us. We see the suffering. And there are coming days when we are all going to have to be tried by fire. And it doesn't mean that the Lord doesn't love us. But his ways are higher than our ways. And we may not always understand why things transpire in our lives. I'm speaking to myself, because I need this sermon more than any of you. The days are coming when we will all be tried. But I want to encourage you to hold fast. Hold fast to the rod of iron. Stay in the scriptures. If you're not reading your scriptures on a regular basis, please do. Get into the scriptures, study, pray, fast. And let us come up to a higher plane. Let us come up together. Because as his church, there is a great promise to us and a great work for us to do. May the Lord bless each one of you. Thank you.
Our eternal Heavenly Father, what a pleasure it is, Lord, to come to your house. What a pleasure it has been to go through scriptures this day, to show the coming together of people for the benefit of blessings, for spiritual blessings. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will be with each one of us as we leave at your house this day. Watch over us, protect us, give us the guidance and the directions that we seek. May we follow thy will and thy ways. We pray this, Heavenly Father, and ask a blessing upon your people. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.